Blog Talk Radio.
You can go.
Hello, you're listening to Powerfully You with your hosts Linda and Dave McDowell. Happy Sunday afternoon for us anyway. We're a little early today because we needed to get this program done, quite honestly. I was just joking with Linda. I kind of feel like you're introducing us as Wayne's World, because we're hustling here. She's looking up one of her resources, references. I've got mine. I just looked it up and barely got my coffee made, but we're ready to go.
We are.
So Linda came up with this really wonderful title for our program, which I thought was just fun, Who's Your Daddy? So we wanted to talk to you about our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And when I say that, I'm talking about Yahweh, Jehovah, the God of Israel. That doesn't exclude others as far as I'm concerned. We're here to talk about a relationship with God. Ours is Christian. That's what we believe. I don't think you'll ever change my mind. I believe in that God, and I believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk from that standpoint, but we're open and willing to listen to others. We want you to find your spiritual path.
Mm-hmm.
We believe we're on our spiritual path, and we're more than happy to share that with anybody who will listen to us. If you would like to call in and join and share your experience or your view or perhaps your doctrine, we would be more than happy to talk that. We're not going to argue, but we will certainly listen and listen to your thoughts, and we will have our own, but no hard feelings. Right, Linda?
Definitely so.
And if you want to call, the number is 646-787-1589. Let me give it to you one more time. 646-787-1589. So while Linda continues to look up her reference, I will get started, because one of the things I said in our little description of this program is I wanted to talk to our listeners about our relationship with a Heavenly Father from a theological standpoint. Now, Linda's not, what's the right word, as conservative on this as I am, so I'm giving you the pretty Protestant, conservative theological standpoint as I understand it. I don't have a doctorate in theology. But I believe that we have a access to our Heavenly Father, and this is according to biblical context and verses, and that we now have the opportunity ourselves without any high priest between us, though we do have a high priest, that we can actually enter into spiritually the throne room of God and approach Him as a son or daughter would approach Him. And the reason we can do that is because Christ has paid for our sins, and I've accepted that gift of salvation that says, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I have fallen short of the glory of God, And without a Savior, I would not be able to enter into the Holy of Holies and before the throne of God, except that I have accepted the gift of salvation provided to me by Jesus Christ. Now, we could go deeper, and we could go into other things, so many things that Linda and I don't totally know. We'll just let that go. Because that's not what this is about. It's about reality. And unfortunately, we have been taught, especially in our Western world, to believe that what we can touch, see, taste, smell, with our senses is reality. And the truth is, yeah, it is. this table that I'm sitting at is really here. This cup of coffee that I have in front of me is really here. I can see it. I can taste it. But there is a spiritual world that is even more real. And the reason I say it's more real, because it's the lasting word. At some point in time, in the future, unless God comes back and changes things, this table is going to disintegrate and go away. And my soul is going to last for an eternity. Spiritual things will last for an eternity. So where I'm going with that is I want to talk about that reality. That reality that says, now, because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I have accepted the free gift of salvation, I now can spiritually enter into the throne room of God and address Him and talk to Him and listen to Him. So that's the basic theological standpoint. Linda, do you want to add anything or move into another section of this?
Well, only thing I would want to say is that, you know, I think we heard something today that fed my spirit and was very profound in that, you know, yeah, you can get into the scientific and you have to have proof of who God is or the reality of what it is. Or the theology of who God is. But really, I like that old time faith that just because He's God, you know, just because I have faith in who He is. And it has nothing really to do with, for me, and I'm speaking for me, not theological or anything like that. I don't have to have the proof. I know that He's God, He is real for me, and that, you know, kind of going back to my topic, who's your daddy?
Yeah, right.
That's our topic for today. Who's your daddy? You know, my heart tells me I can totally connect with God because of my heart, not so much because of my mind.
So can I say something here that
you don't have to explain it, but yeah.
Well, that's okay. Well,
yeah.
All I'm saying is I think what Linda's saying, and I totally agree, regardless of what theology says, regardless of what theologians mm-hmm. say or apologetics or the Bible even, I know this is true in my heart. I feel it. I know I have changed because of my relationship with God. That is a fact. Now, every step with God takes is by faith. We have to move by faith. You know, when I accepted Christ and said, I believe He is the Son of God. He came to earth and He paid for my sins. That was a step of faith. I couldn't prove it. I was 7 years old. It was a step of faith. And then God has increased that faith by bringing things to me and showing me things and speaking to me. And I've learned and am learning His word. But it's faith.
And it's the childlike faith that He connects to. You know, because I feel like sometimes as Christians, we want to get all theological. And it's nothing wrong with that. I studied. I have an MDiv, as they say. And it's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes we get connected to what we know instead of who we know.
Mm-hmm. And your faith becomes...
And your faith becomes...
In the knowledge.
In the knowledge of who God is instead of, or what you should know, or what other people think you should be as a Christian, when it really is, who is your daddy? You know?
Yeah.
To break it down to the simplest term, it's like, do you know Him in the realest sense of the word? Not go to church every Sunday, and this is the way we go to church, and this is how we should act. But do you have a deeper relationship with Him, a connection, a trusting, a knowing that He is, simply because He is?
But did you have that the day you were saved?
I think I did.
Oh, okay.
I'm
See,
serious.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
And because for me, it's been a practice. you know, and I've had experiences, and I've grown into the ability to believe more than I used to believe.
Yeah, I think because the experiences that I had, there weren't any really preconceived. I just had to have a relationship with him. And so, you know, I didn't have to step into the mold of
unlearn. Not because of what I had learned was wrong, but because what I had learned had been applied incorrectly by me. I'm not going to blame that on anybody else anymore. I used to blame it on others. The truth is, I was the one who made it a formula, who made it, I had to be in church on Sunday, had to do this, had to do that, had to do this, had to do that, on and on, couldn't do this. You know, until I began to realize it's not about that. It's about a person, a being, two persons, me, a being, human being, and God, a spiritual being. And it's between he and I, and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. And the three of them together help me. I guess what I'm trying to say is it's by faith that I close my eyes and I imagine that I'm in the throne room. The truth is, I am in the throne room.
You are. Anytime you call your name for him,
right?
I feel like instantly, well, you know, for me, I believe that he's not somewhere distant. He is always in me, around me, as me.
Right.
You know, so he's not distant from me. He is just a call away. Father, I need you. And in that instant, he meets that need. And I guess, you know, and it's nothing wrong, and I don't want to, you know, if you have to have the, I think it's a place for that, because there was a time where I did have questions and stuff, and if you have to have that, you can prove, and, you know, if you have to have a pattern or a formula, I don't really feel like there is any wrong way. Each of us have, you know, our own path to go, and so whatever works for you, I think I'm more of a heart felt kind of person, and I feel him in my heart, and he is my father.
And you know that I'm more an analytical, step-by-step kind of guy. And so for me, I've had to learn to abandon that in some places and go, this isn't step-by-step. This isn't analytical. This isn't I got to figure it out before I take the next step. No, absolutely, it's just the opposite. I have to take the next step by faith, and God shows me. He didn't show me before. He shows me after. And that's okay, because we live by faith. I guess to those who are analytical and intellectual.
That's what I said. It's nothing wrong with that, because I feel like we all have our own path to go with God, and if that is your path, I know I'm more of a heartfelt, heart knowledge kind of person, so that probably would be my path. I just caution, I guess, for me, I guess it would be to, you know, have that relationship. You can't negate the knowledge, and you can't negate that's what I'm saying, and you can't negate that there is a feeling and a relationship with that.
And I don't know, I guess I do want to say one comes before the other. I do believe faith comes before knowledge. But I do believe faith is almost always awarded by knowledge. In other words, I say, I believe God is this, Jesus is the Son of God. He paid for my sins. And then knowledge comes to me through the Word and through teachers and through mentors. And I begin to go, oh, I really was right. I mean, I believed it, but now I really believe it. And for me, that's how it works.
And I think for me, the Word definitely is a way that God speaks to me. And this is from the very beginning. And I think everybody has a different way. So I'm not saying your way is, we all have our way and our path to God. But to me, I didn't really need a mentor or anything. Not saying that I couldn't use it. And I did have some wonderful teachers. I just felt like if I spent time with him, it would come. And it did, you know, the knowledge.
Can I tell, we've told your story before, at least some of it, I want to tell it again. So Linda was raised in both the Muslim nation and grandparents who took her to Protestant church. Then she became true, dedicated Muslim nation. And so what happened was she just never felt right in that situation until finally she, not finally, that sounds bad, but she turned to the Lord, and she was all alone. She was a closet Christian in the Muslim nation with no one to go to, no one to ask questions. She couldn't afford to. And so she spent time directly with God. And I think in some ways that is a tremendous advantage, because she didn't have the theology and the words, and you're supposed to say this, and you're supposed to do this. And she just went and got taught by the Holy Spirit.
And I did remember some of the things in my childhood from going to church, but, you know, I'm going to be honest, a lot of times when I was a child in church, I wasn't always. Some of that did come into my spirit, and I heard it, and it helped. But I wasn't always listening.
And then it was later that you began to study in a more
in-depth way.
What's the right word? I don't even want to say that. Scholastic.
Yeah.
And then as you studied scholastically, what you found was what you had already been hearing was confirmed and strengthened.
Yes.
And I think that's true for a lot of people. Maybe different. They get at it differently. I know I did. For me, it was kind of all that preparation that I had growing up in a Protestant church with lots of Bible and lots of preaching was not wasted. It was just not true until I took the step of faith. And then it became more true to me. Hope that makes sense.
Yeah, that does make sense. I think that my relationship with him, I will say that I really got exposed to the Word of God, not initially as a Christian, but even as a member of the Nation of Islam. It was you had to have read the whole Bible in our
several times.
So that only because if you were going to say something to your faith, a lot of us had Christian family members and they felt like you need to know the word in order to convert them or whatever.
Right.
You had to really know the word. And so really by the time I became a Christian, I probably had read the Bible through and through at least 3 or 4 times.
Right.
And I really believe that each time I read it was that relationship began with God,
His word, and it
began to have me have more questions.
I'm sure that's probably what made you feel like, wait a minute, something's not right here.
Yeah, and probably as I look back over it, I feel like each one of those times I probably met him in a way that I was ready at that moment.
Right.
And I think that he meets us where we are and where we're able to handle. He knows down the road that was going to be a big ordeal for me. So I feel like even that being mandatory for me to read that and was a part of me also getting to know him.
And him planning, planning his word in your heart to be sprout at a later date. You know, that's the way I feel about my Protestant upbringing. That it was so many seeds, well planned by God, and supported by my parents and many, many, many people. And I am so thankful for that childhood and that early adulthood, all through high school, where we heard the word a lot.
And
we didn't always want to hear the word. We didn't always want to be there, but I'm glad I was.
Well, I'm glad for, my grandparents and mom, too, sometimes that, we went to Bible, school in the summer, and I went to Sunday school, and all of that was an exposure to God.
But even during that time, your dad was highly involved in the Muslim nation. And by that I mean walking and talking with some pretty big guys. So we won't start dropping names, but
it
was.
Yeah. But, you know, I just feel like that, you know, going back to our subject, who's your daddy, is that just like your earthly father, he may not know exactly where your future is going, but a real father will try to take care of that. You will have some type of future, and even if it's no more than dropping wisdom so that he can prepare you, how much more does our Heavenly Father, you know, he knows where we're going to be in 10 years, in 15 years, and he prepares the way for us. And if any of us, if we think back, just think back over your life where you know that he just sprouted some seeds by somebody you met, a mentor, or somebody that took you to a place that maybe made you question at first, and then you began to mature in that. There was somebody that brought you a word, somebody that encouraged you to read the Bible. You read the Bible and you began to know there was always some seed. And I think Paul said something about that. You know, you just kind of
plant. Some water.
And some water.
Some heart.
And we don't know, even when you say a word, you meet somebody on the street, you smile, or you've helped a friend and you said, hey, it's no way that I can get through, and I've done that plenty of times, in tough situations, except to go to God in prayer. And maybe you prayed with that person. And if they really didn't have a relationship with God, you know, that was a seed that you planted, that this is how I conquer things,
yeah,
you know?
Don't take that as a failure.
Yeah.
It's not a failure.
Yeah.
Anytime that God's word goes out, whether it's from your lips or somebody else's or the radio or whatever, it does not come back void. I believe that with all my heart. Now, you may not see it.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, you may never see it. You may have been, just as we said, the one who planted and had to move on. And somebody else gets to see it grow or harvest it. But it just, I just believe that any time I witness, spiritually, by the Holy Spirit witness, that it has effect. And I may not see it right then, but it's not going to be wasted. But let's get back to our topic. You know, you and I, we kind of get off on stuff. That's okay. So, Linda, I know I'm going to ask you, and then, you know, I'll add or whatever. We'll let the Holy Spirit lead. What does it mean to you that God is your Father? What's that really? How do you view that? How do you define that?
Well, and I'm going to get real personal, but you guys, I feel like if you listen to our program, you probably kind of know us. We don't hide much. I feel like I can connect to God as Father, even though I didn't have the greatest relationship always with my earthly father, though near the end we did develop that. But I connect so much to the father aspect of God because
the parent.
And well, I'm going to say the father
of
God. I connect more to the Father of God. It may be some people out there, and I know some people may have a problem with that. God, to me, can be the mother aspect of him, could be a nurturing person for you. And the Father aspect of God, because I feel like he is all. You know, if you need that nurturing, he definitely is the nurturer. And for me, I needed that Father, that protector, that provider. And so I connect to the Father aspect of who God is. And that is, for me, the all in all. And so he's all those things I feel like. He's my provider, my protector, all those things that you see or that you would hope a father would be. My foundation, my strong tower. You know, he is those things to me. It almost is making me just kind of like sometimes it's so hard to put it in words, but he is everything to me.
Right. So your first thought when you go to God is Abba.
It is.
Right?
And
I can say that because I heard you say it.
Yes.
You know, and Abba being that intimate daddy word that we have a right to. don't even want to say right, privilege. We are okay. We can say that. God is happy when we do.
Well, we are His children. We've been
right.
adopted in.
That's
and even when you were a child, that you were adopted in, if you have good adoptive parents, they treat you no
like
different
the other
than the other. And I don't feel like God treats us any different, if some can conceive that, than He does Jesus. And Jesus even said, you know, Jesus had that connection. He knew who His daddy was. Who's your daddy? He knew without a doubt who His daddy was. He came down here to show us, hey, this is your daddy too.
Yeah, there's a – actually, maybe this is a good time to bring up my verse. Do you mind?
Mm-hmm. No.
So this is the verse I just discovered as I was teaching the Gospel of John years ago, quite a number now, that I've not heard – really, anybody really spend a lot of time on it, but it became a super special verse for me. And it's in John 20:17, Gospel of John. And what has happened is Mary has just recognized Jesus at the tomb.
Mm-hmm.
And she has said, Rabboni.
Rabboni.
Rabboni. Thank you, Master. And he said, whoa, touch me not. For I'm not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, oh, this chokes me up, excuse me. I ascend unto my Father and your Father, unto my God and your God. And I personally believe that Jesus was saying at that point in time, do you not understand? My Father and your Father. My God and your God are the same. You now, by what I have done, have a true heavenly Father. It chokes me up every time because I think he was just saying, welcome to the family.
He was, and he was saying, you have access now, not as some outside person. You don't have to come crawling and begging.
Exactly.
You have access to all the things
I have.
It is all
well,
in that verse.
Well, think about it. Here's Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows she's going to run back and tell the disciples. You know, and we've talked about this before. You know, in Jesus' last discourse, that was the last opportunity he had to spend with his disciples. Don't you think he told them what he thought was the most important thing? Yes, he did. He spent 3 chapters in the Gospel of John talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit because that's what they needed to know about. Well, same thing here. She's fixing to go back, and what's he tell her? Tell him, welcome to the family. That's what I believe that verse means. Welcome to the family, my brothers and sisters. Wow. And I'm not a redheaded stepchild.
And that is
what I
would love people to get because, you know, I felt that way for a number of years in my life that I was the redheaded stepchild. And I feel like God tells me, no, you're not.
Because
you
your
are
father
not.
Left you behind.
Yes, yes.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And my father and my mother. I was raised by my grandparents for that reason. And though I will say that they both were very young when they had me, and I have to put that in perspective.
Yeah, we're not criticizing them. We're just telling the story.
Yeah, and so, you know, I just feel like I don't have to worry about that or come as second class because I am all that to him in a bag of chips.
Bag of chips. I love it. Thank you. I can trust Linda to put it in really good terms.
Yeah, you can.
You are all that and a bag of chips to God.
Yes, I am. That breaks it down to the...
But the truth is, and this is both spiritual, theological, however you want to put it, the Bible says that Jesus is the firstborn among many.
Mm-hmm.
You and I are the many.
Mm-hmm.
He's just the first. And then the Bible says we have all the rights and privileges of a child. He didn't say Jesus is the begotten.
Mm-hmm.
He is the heir to the throne.
Mm-hmm.
We will never be that. And that's okay. But we have every other right and privilege of royalty, of, oh, my God. Yeah, oh, my God, literally.
Well, and then, you know, Jesus himself said, these things I do, you will do also, meaning that, yes, he is the firstborn, but the things that he did, we have the capability, and I think we lose that because this is what he said,
well,
that we have the capability of doing a lot of those things. It may not be in the same vein that he did it, but we do have the capability, and I don't always feel like we function in our capability because a lot of times we do feel like stepchildren.
Well, I believe that, and I struggled with that verse for many, many years. Because I'm going, really? I don't see it. I didn't see anybody get healed. I didn't see anybody rise from the dead. You know, and then I began to realize, wait a minute. Jesus saved 12 people. I mean, he didn't save a whole bunch of people. He really did. Now I think he influenced a lot more.
Yeah.
But those were the primary people.
He
That's
took those people.
Number.
And he showed them
how
the way.
How many miracles have been done since he ascended to heaven by Christians? Untold. How many people have been saved since he went to heaven? Untold.
Well, and the greatest miracle to me is that you and I were saved. We were saved by our faith because in those days, his disciples saw his miracles and wonders. We have never seen, I feel like I have seen some miracles. And, you know, sometimes I think there are everyday miracles that we push aside, and they are miracles, you know. As a hospice nurse, I have patients that we have, you know, when you come on the hospice, they feel like your physician can't even put you on hospice unless he feels like you have 6 months or less. I have witnessed patients that we have had to say, I'm sorry, but you just don't meet the criteria anymore. And so to me, I mean, some people might say, well, that's not a miracle. But no, it's a miracle to me when I can tell somebody. And you graduate. You are not appropriate for our care, and you can go on about your life. And it was one lady I can distinctly remember saying that to, and she was like, I know, baby, because he done set me free, you know. We just, you know, had a hallelujah kind of time for a moment. But she helped me realize that, wait a minute, I'm telling something to somebody that 6 months ago the doctor told Bill that you're dying, and now I'm telling you, like, no, you know what? I don't know what has happened here because that's what we have to say. You know, I'm not sure what happened, but you're just not appropriate.
Yeah, I was just one day, and I hope we're not getting too far off the subject, but we're going to talk about miracles. I wrote this one day. I saw a miracle in church this morning. I'm going to get all choked up. I saw a person go from dead to alive.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a person go from hell to heaven in an instant. That is a miracle.
That's what I was, you know, like, we are the best miracle. Sometimes we look for those, but that you are saved, that you believe. Think of the moment. I think that's a miracle. You are a new creature in him. I think of the moment when I received Christ, it was just like, oh, my God.
You born a second time?
That's a true miracle. That is one of the biggest miracles. Just like your whole mindset has been reformed, renewed.
It's been restarted. I say, you are a new creature in Christ. You have to learn what that is, I think.
Yeah.
But it started.
Yeah.
Your regeneration has already started. And you will continue to regenerate until you go to heaven.
And it's not a miracle, and that's what your daddy does to you. Who's your daddy?
Yeah.
He makes you be born all over again in the spirit. Is that not a miracle?
I have two adopted brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in my heart, and they know, one has passed away that he knew and he knows today. There is no difference in my love for them than it is for my biological brother.
Mm-hmm.
They are just as important. I hope they know that. I believe they know that. I did my best to show that and still do my best. But I also will say this. There was no difference between how they were treated with love and acceptance in my mom and dad. And that's what's even more important.
That is.
You know, now, don't misunderstand, because my younger brother was 12 years younger than me. My older brother and I sometimes looked at each other and said, what aliens have come and taken over my mom and dad?
Well, and
they
I think
did treat him different, but not because, you know, but only different because they matured and the things that they got upset with us about, they just kind of realized wasn't that big a deal when he came along. Of course, we would look at each other and go, wow, somebody has, you know, some alien has taken over our mom and dad. But their love and their acceptance and their support and, you know, all the things that go with parenthood was no different.
Yeah, and I think that's true for, you know, natural parents. I have two daughters with 12 years between them, and I think my older daughter will be like, you know what, you were a lot lenient
sure.
on chastity, and I probably was, because considering that when I had her, I was 19, I had
right.
to kind of fumble around along the way, unfortunately, but, you know, she turned out awesome. But I just feel like that's the way God is with us. There is no difference. His love is just the same for us and him. And in going through that, you know, I just want people to ponder that. Who's your daddy?
But what does it mean? We heard a word this morning.
Wow.
It was so powerful. And it was a gentleman. I don't even know his name. I don't think I want to know his name. Because I want to just accept this as from the Lord, because it mm-hmm. was so incredibly
profound.
Holy Spirit. Wow. And what he was, some of what he said was, I can't even repeat it, but I'm going to do my best. God is so in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
God is consumed with you. That he just can't wait to pour blessings and favor and all those things. Now, there is a catch, and the catch is when we're yielded and submitted, he is ready. He wants. And don't misunderstand, he pours blessings on me when I'm not submitted, when I'm not ready, because he loves me. But even more so when I'm right with him.
And I think that people sometimes, you know, because I think he pours blessings on people when they are not submitted. Think about all the time that, you know, even before you came to Christ, how that accident you may have gotten in, that it was, I bet you called his name when it was like 2 seconds before somebody.
Couple of times,
I didn't believe in God, if there was a crisis, I knew that would be the first thing, oh, God, help me, you know, even in those moments. So I feel like he blessed you, but you don't get the full potential of that blessing just like until you recognize who your father is, just like with earthly fathers, you know, you don't bless your children. But if your children is like, Dad, you are the man.
Yeah.
They going to get an
A. lot more ready to.
Yeah.
It really is. It's kind of like, yes, Dad, you are the man.
You are.
And you said go this way, and I know you're right, and I'm going this way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you not think he's going to invest even more?
His blessings, as the guy was saying, his blessings become intentional. When you are intentional in that, you know who he is.
But I guess with this program, I want people and me
mm-hmm.
and you to stop and reflect and say, I am a prince or princess in the kingdom of the God who created the universe. Who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Who knows when the sun rises and when it sets and decrees it? Who knows when the moon should be full and when it should be at a quarter? Who knows when we should have a total solar eclipse and when we're not? I mean, oh, my God. And I'm not taking words in vain.
You know.
And, you know, and realize
this
that
is your
he's
daddy.
My dad.
Why?
Yeah, my dad can beat up your dad. Yeah, you know, I mean, I almost feel like we ought to have that attitude.
No, yeah.
Well, that on me, obviously. Well, I go out into this world, and I get in that car, and I get in the traffic, and I head to work and go, oh, my dad is on my side.
Yeah.
Get out of the way. And I don't mean that, you know, I'm not going to be aggressive or anything. I just know I'm covered.
That's and to me, we said that as a joke, but who's your daddy? But really think about it. Who is your daddy? You know, because really when we get into those moments of, and I've had one of those moments when it's broke, when you're broken, when you're tough, when you're discouraged, when you beat yourself up, I sometimes have to say, and who is your daddy?
Yeah. Now, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. You know, because when the enemy comes at you like, you know, a lion.
You little worm.
You get a little, oh, God. But that's when you need to stand up and look at the lion and be like, do you know who my daddy is?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
He's back there. He's about to come in here and knock you out. But you
I have actually done that in this sense. And you've heard me tell this story. Where I felt like I was being attacked at two or three nights by a spirit of fear,
mm-hmm.
to the point that, as you well know, I felt like I had a panic attack. And finally, about the third night, I said, I've had enough of this. And, you know, I literally said out loud to the enemy, spirit of fear, leave me. I've played with you, and I've warned you, but I'm telling you, if you don't leave now, my big brother's going to come and beat your ass. And I'm going to use that word. Because I had to convince myself. I had to say it out loud to me. The enemy already knew it.
Mm-hmm.
He already knows. We're the ones that have to convince ourselves.
Right.
And you know what? It was over. I didn't have any more issues with that. Spirit of fear was gone. And I was able to relax and, you know, and get back to normal, quote, normal. Wish I had to take three nights to get there, but
hey,
you know.
But you got there. I have the name of God. I just want to bring these up because in the question of who's your daddy, I just want to go over these and hopefully you will meditate on who your dad is. Who's your daddy? Your dad is Jehovah Elohim, strong creator. Jehovah Elyon, Lord Most High. Jehovah Adonai, Lord, my master. Jehovah Nisi, Lord, my banner. Jehovah Rapha, Lord, my healer. Jehovah Elohim, everlasting God. Jehovah Elroy, God who sees. Jehovah Sabaoth, Lord of hosts. Jehovah Roi, Lord, my shepherd. It's so many. Jehovah Shalom, Lord, our peace. So many here. I really encourage you to look up at that, you know, who God is. And it's just like Lord of peace, Lord of the sword. He's a jealous God, jealous over you. So he will protect you. He is your judge. He is your light. He is a mighty God. He is the Lord that is with you. He is the God that forgave, and this is Jehovah Elnor, God that forgave. And finally, Jehovah Jireh, Lord, my provider. That's who your daddy is.
Well, amen.
Yeah, amen.
All I'm going to say to that is we posted that with the show. If you want to go see it, it's there, those names.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here's what the Lord said to me is, I can get up from this table, not just tomorrow, but from this table, and know I am safe. That doesn't mean things won't look tough. It doesn't mean that there won't be problems. But in those problems, I can go, I'm okay. I'm good. I'm all right. I am in the hands of my God, who no matter what, saves me today, yesterday, and tomorrow. And nothing can change that. Nothing on this earth can take that from me. I will win.
Mm-hmm.
It may not look like winning to anybody else, but I'll tell you what, when I'm in heaven waving at you guys, you'll know I won. You know, not that I hope you're there waving with me.
I hope so too.
But I will.
No, I will.
That's where I'm going to spend eternity, no matter what happens on this earth.
And you know what? I feel like there's a gospel song, Encourage Yourself. And sometimes in those times when you're feeling defeated, withdrawn, da-da-da-da-da, fearful, you don't know, you're at crossroads, who is your daddy? Think about that and think about who he is. And it just, for me, it just gives me that second wind to go forward because we're going to come. As a matter of fact, the more you know who you are, sometimes the enemy will kind of bring things your way just to kind of question that, to knock you down. But you stand firm. Stand in the presence of God knowing who you are and whose you are.
Yeah. I want to add, you know, the times that I've struggled the most have not been in physical difficulties. They've not been in vocational difficulties. They've not been in marital difficulties. They've not been financial difficulties. They have been sin difficulties. They have been when I have felt so incredibly unworthy. When I had practiced some sin that I knew I shouldn't be practicing. And I was feeling the conviction of that. And then the enemy came out and heaped on the guilt and shame and embarrassment. Those are when I've struggled the most to believe that he's my daddy. But you know what? Even in those times, we can call out and go, Abba, I'm struggling. Please help me. And confess and say, I'm sorry. And he will. And those are the deepest times I've ever had.
Yeah.
And, you know, I really is when I could just finally look in and go, Lord, I can't. Please help me. Abba, please.
Well, it's when you surrender.
Save me.
Save you. It's when you surrender. And, you know, and this is where, and it took me to this point in my life to be like, and when you've done it, when you've asked for the forgiveness, know that he forgave you and move on. Do not wallow in that. Because that wallow, you are just allowing the enemy to marinate.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's exactly what you're roasting on his bit, and he's just pouring a little marinade.
Yeah.
That's a good analogy.
Yes, you know that God has forgiven you. And move on into righteousness.
Yeah, and maybe you'll fall again. Guess what? Come to him and ask for forgiveness again.
God says,
anybody who says they have no sin is a liar. We all have problems.
We do. We do. And we all have sins that we have sins or whatever, and sometimes, you know, they come back or whatever. But you have to just keep moving forward in his righteousness, knowing that he has you, he's covering you, he's covered you in the past, he is covering you in the present, and he is not finished. And you move forward in his righteousness. Step forward out of the muck and the mire and step forward.
Get up, slug the enemy in the nose. I mean, you know, whatever it takes for you to believe that, do it. If it means speaking out loud, speak out loud. Claim the blood of Jesus.
That's a powerful thing.
Amen. And say, you have no right to this body, to this room, to this home, to this car, wherever you are. He has no rights.
That blood, the blood of Christ, I plead the blood over my family and my house, and even as I speak it, I plead the blood. But that's not wasted blood.
No.
When you plead the blood of Jesus, that is your protection. That's your line in the sand.
Oh, good way to prove it.
You cannot come. You cannot come. You can't step over this line. I plead the blood, the precious, righteous blood of
really
Jesus.
And here's what's really funny about it, is our enemy sometimes, many times, believes that much better than we do.
Yeah. Well, it's because we don't know who we are
that
he can seep in those places. But when you, the stronger you get, and it will happen, and, you know, we all fade and
keep
practicing, but the stronger you get in the reality of who you are, really can't nobody take that away from you.
That's right.
You know, now, yeah. You don't
it,
think
it almost
can.
Gets to be fun.
It does.
And Linda and I are beginning to get there.
Yeah.
And the word this morning was just wow. But it's kind of like I at work, I've been in places where I go, oh, really? That's the best shot you think of me? I mean, I don't say it out loud, but in my heart I go, you know. And not that it's not a big shot. And not that, you know, it might turn out to look bad. But I'm thinking, you know, promotion comes either from the east or the west. But, man of God, if you think you're stopping me, you are mistaken.
And
I'm not folding. I'm not turning tail and running. I'm not going to fight you. I'm not going to be your enemy. But don't think I'm just going to crawl under a rock and go away. No, I am a prince. Oh.
And I know who to call.
Yeah.
Who you going to call?
Yeah.
Like they say, Ghostbusters, literally. Who you going to call? Call on your daddy. Because in an instant.
And give it time and trust and believe.
Trust.
I've seen it work too many times.
Me too. And I think that's it. The more you trust him, the more you know that he will come through. And the more times he's come through
right.
for you, it sets you up to the future to know that, wait a minute. Sometimes you have those
this
moments when
good.
You forget.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to pull out the all-powerful one.
Yeah. I got the secret weapon.
I got the secret weapon. So, don't make me pull out my secret weapon now.
Don't make me pull out this can of God.
I know.
And we can laugh because, you know, God has a sense of humor.
He does.
I think he's sitting up there going, yeah.
That's right.
Now you're getting it.
Yeah.
You know, I
and
believe that.
I do, too, and I believe that he laughs with us and he
laughs at us.
And laughs at us. It's like, yeah, he does. And I think that the when you, even if it's in, you have to say it jokingly, but each time you say it with more faith,
yeah.
I know who my father is.
And you cannot. And address the enemy. Now, you can't do that in a boardroom of
no.
two-level people. Okay?
No.
You can't do that in a lot of places.
But
there
power
are
of that,
places where you can.
Yeah, you know, and it's so powerful that you can say it in your mind and
well,
it still will be done. You can say it under
your
breath. And then sometimes the enemy, sometimes you have to say it to yourself. Sometimes you,
yeah, you
are your worst enemy. And let's not negate that because you beat yourself up to the point where you're a wimp. You know, and we do that. I do it. You beat yourself up so much that you're ineffective.
Yeah, true.
So you have to talk up to yourself. You have to encourage yourself.
You are so valuable that Jesus Christ gave his life for you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Oh, my God. You know, I experienced this one day in church, and I had been praying for several weeks at this. Lord, show me. I can't remember exactly what the prayer was. I've lost the context. But all I know was, so I go up to the altar of this Episcopal liturgical church and to receive the Eucharist. And I heard the Lord say, Dave, one drop of my blood was more than enough to save you. And I spilt it all. You know, you guys, we're washed in the blood of Christ. Does that not make me powerful? You bet it does. Does that not make the enemy tremble? Yeah, it does. That sounds egotistical, but I
no.
have the ability
yes.
to shake this world.
Really what gives the enemy and the enemy in you sometimes power is that you don't know who you are.
Right. I read a book many years ago. I'm going to have to read it again. It's called Birthright. And I know that's the name of the book, so if anybody wants to look it up, please do. It's a great book. It's all about who you are in Christ. And I believe the author's name is Hal Needham, N-E-D-H-A-M, I believe. But it was so, and it talked about all these things, and it laid the groundwork for me. And I'm still learning, and I'm still trying to believe it and accept it and walk in it. But I would encourage anybody who can get that book, read it. It is fantastic. So you you want to close the way we talked about closing?
Okay.
All right, Linda. I have a very, very important question for you, and I need a very clear, honest answer. Who's your daddy?
The maker of the universe.
Yeah, the maker of the universe. The be-all, end-all of everything that is and ever will be.
I think we'll just close our show on that. We will pray for you. And my prayer for you is, Lord, help our listeners and us see what our rights and privileges are, what our power is available to us. Let us be ambassadors as princes. Let us also be ambassadors for your kingdom, to walk as you walked, not to flaunt our power, but to use it for good, to love and to cherish our God and the people he brings in contact with us. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.